Thank you, Rüdiger, for such a kind introduction. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers of this workshop for giving me an opportunity to talk here. It's really a pleasure for me to have a talk. I will talk about my recent research. In the first part, I will talk about our joint work with Monique, which we did end of last year, beginning of this year. I will consider two-dimensional, namely about two-dimensional dividend switching models, and particularly we have done filtering in such a model. We provided elementary approach for filtering in the two-dimensional model. Then we did some pricing in this model, and then in part two of my talk, I would like to talk about the research I did here, and it's a really great pleasure to thank Mateusz, Tom, and Sebastian for a very kind invitation to spend 1 month at this great institute. It's a really wonderful research atmosphere. So I will extend our model to the JUMP model and talk about filtering in a two-dimensional Poisson model. And then I mentioned, I will say a few words about my, and announce my talk at the Congress of Bachelier Finance Society, which I'll, and the subject that I will talk about there. So let me begin the first part. Suppose that we have a probability space and two independent random times, tau I, and we have standard Brownian motions, which assume to be constantly correlated with parameters rho. So those are independent of these Brownian motions. And we model the asset prices by geometric Brownian motions driven by these constantly correlated Brownian motions. And we assume that the dividend rates are random and change at these times tau I, which are not observable from the market. And namely, we have the following situation: the ith asset with price I, SI pays dividend delta I0 till time tau I, and after it changes the tau, the rate of the dividend rate changes to delta I, from delta I0 to delta I1. And our problem we consider is how to price the European option, European contingent claim, in this model of if only the information containing in prices available. So it's not easy to produce the direct formulas for this case. That's why we will do it partially, and we see how this can be done using the key lemma of de la Cherie, which became a key lemma for the credit risk theory. So first of all, we decompose our initial contingent claim into the some sort of this is the analog of barrier contingent claim, and we decompose it into three parts, and then we compose each part separately. So note, we first note that we may even consider more general model, but this will be actually equivalent to the previous model if we model the asset prices as star I, and we assume that there are two random times which company chooses to switch their dividends, which are unknown for the usual investor. And if every asset changes its dividend rate at these times, this model can be reduced. The computation for this model can be reduced for the computation of the initial model by the simple linear transformations. So we can recompute the new coefficients delta star, sigma star, and rho star by means of the old coefficients and vice versa, because we have just simple linear transformations for the stock price and the underlying Brownian motions. Okay, so let's remain at our old model, which becomes useful for our purposes, for example, to compute filtering estimates. And actually, if we try to compute these terms of this value of the contingent claim, then we have a problem of expressing everything by the filtration which is accessible from the observation, and that's why we apply the Chow property for conditional expectation and compute the value of the conditional expectation first under the larger filtration GT, which is correspondent to the full information case. And it's useful to replace, if we know that the unavailable times were outside the interval we consider for expectation, it's useful to replace the processes S by processes X, which are just standard, geometric Brownian motions. That's why if we place them instead of S, if we can do it, then the computation can become simpler. So, and then we introduce some other filtration in order to be able to apply the key lemma of Delachaux. So let's just Fx be the filtration generated by this geometric Brownian motion with constant local drift. H is a filtration generated by the these random times, and Gi is the filtration of X augmented with the filtration of ith event, and the total information can be represented by the filtration GT. So we have to find the distribution, conditional distribution of the times tau 1 and tau 2 with respect to the filtration F. I skip here the notation. F means Fs here. So this can be done by applying the Bayes formula, and we see that we can write this as a mixture of this. I don't know how this works. This is. This, how can we express this by the Radon-Nikodym densities, and now we have to find some easy expressions for some simple expressions for these probabilities, and we apply the standard computations. We see how we can extend the computations of from some papers from early 60s, and how can we manage this for this simple case, and then actually the same technique can be applied for more complicated Markov chain. And so if we have something changing at the exponential random time, we have actually the simple Markov chain with two states, and we can apply the same thing for the more complicated Markov chain, and we can apply the same for the more general dependent driving processes, like jump processes, Levy process, and so on. So then for this, we will need some Gersanov densities, and actually what we have here, we can express via these densities in the following way. So we can define the likelihood ratio processes phi and psi, and phi corresponds to the case that the first time was before t, and the second time was the time I denote 3 minus I fix I, and the second time was later than t. This is the phi process was already considered in the works of Shiryaev in the early 60s. And the new process, psi, corresponds to the case that both events happened before the time t. And actually, we see that psi has quite a complicated structure, but we find out that we arrive at the finite dimensional filter. So the most important thing is to specify the process Z, which was all the processes Z which were defined in the slide before. So Z 1 0 means that we filter the first event, given that the second event hasn't happened, and Z 1 1 is the Gersonov density if the we're dealing with the first event and the second event has already happened. And the same is for the second event. Z20 is the process of density corresponding to the case that we are dealing with the second event, given that the first hasn't happened, and Z21 is we are dealing again with the second event, but the first has already happened. How to derive the explicit expression for the process Zij? So this in this case we are in the setting of the classical disorder problem known from the works of Shiryaev, but here we have two disorders, two independent disorders, which are these random events. But we have dependent correlated Brownian motion, driving Brownian motion. How can we get this expression for the Z? So I have one slide which gives an idea of the proof. So if we write the logarithm of Z of S, and it will take the form that under the measure, initial measure P, let's just focus on this expression. How can we do this? And we see that under the new measure, it represents a Brownian motion, but with another drift. And if we are dealing with the second log of the second process, can be decomposed into the following way. Since we have constantly correlated Brownian motions, then we can represent this log as a linear combination of two independent Brownian motions, and the second we denote by W2 prime. And the thing is that if we want to derive the expression for Z1, 0, we know that the first process changed its drift, but the second didn't. And what will happen next? So we see that we should write the standard Gersonov density for the first change, which is here. But in this, what happens with the second process? It has remained. The drift has stayed mu 2-0. And what? How can we express this? Because the first Brownian motion changed its drift. Just since we have independent Brownian motion, we compensate here that the second Brownian motion hasn't changed its drift. It means that we somehow change this drift of the W2 prime back, and that's why in this only case we can see that actually the drift of the second process hasn't changed. So we do this procedure, and we just have to find that the drift of this process remained under new measure, and we are looking for this coefficient B, and we find it from this expression and put it into this Gersonov density, and here we use the fact that the Brownian motions are independent. And now we profit an advantage of the Brownian model that we can represent it, even correlated Brownian motions can be expressed by independent Brownian motions. What we have done here, our W1 and W2 prime are independent. And then we can, since we want to express this by the density, by the filtration generated by S, we have a simple linear system, and we can express W1 and W2 formally by log of S1 and log of S2, and just we arrive at this expression, which represents the ratio, the Gersonne of density with respect to the filtration generated by S. Now the half of the way is done, and now we should look for the stochastic differential filtering equations for the processes phi and psi. So we actually our aim is to find the closed form expressions in the sense of stochastic differential equations for the process for the processes pi 1, pi 2, and pi, which are called posterior probabilities in the disorder problem. But for this, we have to introduce more statistics in the sense that here, also using the Bayes formula, we define that if both disorders were before before T, we have to put here two here the psi process and two psi components. All these components correspond to the case that the first disorder and the second disorder were before time T. We just psi I denotes the case. Psi I corresponds to the case that first the event tau I were, was before the event 3 minus I, and the psi 3 minus I the other case. And we also introduce the processes epsilon, which corresponds to the case that only first only the disorder I was before time t. So, and then the process psi is the sum of the whole disorder, and according to the Bayes formula we had in the first slide, we see that actually we have this system, and we may start deriving stochastic differential equations. It's not it's a standard procedure, but it's really difficult computations. And everything can be expressed by the stochastic log of the process process Z, which we which appear here. And finally, we will get the representation for the for these posterior probabilities of these events with respect to the observable prices, logs of observable prices. Here we see that these are compensated. And that's why, if since we see that they are compensated in the stochastic differentials, so we have actually a three-dimensional system of sufficient statistics here. We have stochastic differential equations for a triple of pi, which is which was the disorder happened before, or both disorder happens before t, and pi I is the one disorder happened before t, and we see that we have a three-dimensional stochastic differential equation, and now we want to simplify this and find some innovation processes of larger filtration. And this is actually the case we can do if we represent, we find innovation Brownian motions which generate the same filtration as the process S. We may represent the stock prices on these filtrations, and we see that the most suitable innovation processes are another innovation process. We again take some linear combination due to the correlation and arrive at this system. So from this system, we see that pi 1 and pi 2 is a three-dimensional Markov process, and we just see how what is the infinitesimal generator of this three-dimensional diffusion. We have a three-dimensional diffusion process driven by two-dimensional Brownian motion. So, and we easily see how this extends the way the one-dimensional disorder. If we have rho equal to zero here, and if rho is equal to zero, then the probability pi factorizes into pi 1 and pi 2. So there will be no term here, and this was already in the works of Shiryaev, and we see that if the two driving initial Brownian motions are correlated, then we have another, we have more complicated system of sufficient statistics. Again, this is the simplest case where we have two independent Markov chains generated by the these events, and the two them and the driving Brownian motions are constantly correlated. So then, also with Monique, we have this is a part of what we have done in our recent paper, and with Monique, we also found how we can express this two-dimensional, so the family of process representing the density of these credit events. So this looks quite complicated. By the kernel of this is the ratios of these processes that we have identified. So, and this density helps us to derive the closed form formulas for the closed form formulas for the value process of a European contingent claim. As I recall from my previous slide, we have decomposed into three terms. We have decomposed our initial conditional expectation representing the value of the option into three parts, and we compute these parts one by one. And actually, what we do is we replace the processes S by which have random drifts representing the changes of the the dividend rates, and then we apply the key lemma of Dalashvili, but in every case with different filtrations. So just if we apply, if we put X instead of S and apply the key lemma for G and X, we see that everything, since we have separated by our decomposition of the price the case where the event, the first or the last event happened, we just provide with these straightforward computations, and then finally we recall that actually we can replace X, the processes X by the processes X S back, and then we can find the closed form expression for the every component via these via these ratios of the processes X, which has log normal density. So we see that we replace the one of the probabilities by the statistics pi, and our formula is completely consistent with the filtration, with the observable filtration FS. So where C is a concrete explicit function. So the first term was easy. The second term is more complicated. We decompose it again into two parts, and again we do the same. We, if we can substitute S by X on this on some intervals, if this is allowed by our decomposition into the of the random times, then we do it, and then we apply again the key lemma of the filtrations G and G3 minus I. And again, in every case, we use the independence of tau, of the events tau I and the driving Brownian motion. And we see that how this is done, and we get the same using the key lemma in this case for the filtration G and G3 minus I. We get that our how do we use this? We see that this is standard application, and then here from passing from this to this, we see that we use the fact that tau I is independent of the filtration G3 minus I. So, but then we can easily, again, we can easily recompute this by the, we substitute again the processes X by the processes S on these events, on these events. So this, finally we get at the closed form expression again, and the second part of this, of the second term, just we change the application of the key lemma from G to G and G3 minus I to G and Fx, which is most simple, and our computation becomes similar to the computation of the first term, and finally we get again closed form formula expressed by on the filtration Fs by the processes pi we derived and processes S. And the third term, again, we decompose it into three parts and compute the same every part separately. But in the first part of the third term, we need to use our density we derived before. So alpha is the density appeared before, which can be expressed by the processes that we computed. And finally, we see we again apply key lemma for other filtration, and for the third part, we similar to the first term, we get using this key lemma, we follow our previous computation and arrive at the closed form formula for the conditional expectation using these filtering estimates and the stock prices themselves. So, and what I have done recently here in the Fields Institute is I was trying to extend our computations for the case of Poisson process, for example. And but how can we model the Poisson process, dependent Poisson process? Just the usual way, as I have learned, is from the conference, recent conference at Imperial College, from the talk of Alexander Lipton, is that we also, this confirmed our also our idea with Monique, where we provide, let's have three independent Poisson process, and the first Poisson process, the first our observable process, I try to remain in the setting of our previous approach. The first process is a sum of N1 and N3, and the second log of the stock is the sum of N2 and N3. And actually, my log S, which I will denote sometimes by S, changes its intensity at some, again, some exponential time tau, which are independent, these tau I, again, they are independent of each other and independent of the driving Poisson processes. So everything is independent, but the process X or log S changes its intensity at from lambda I0 to lambda I1 at some unobservable time tau I. So, and actually we don't, the picture is like this, that we don't know at which process we have this change. It's, is it N1 which contributes to this change, or N3? Again, is it N2 or N3? This is hidden and this is unknown. That's why I try to introduce somehow correlation. If we can, so in the Brownian motion, it was quite, it was standard. We decomposed if from the initial W1, W2, we have passed to independent W1 and W2 prime. Here we cannot do this because we have not, we don't have Gaussian structure. So we have to analyze this one by one. And actually, we the problem is not still well posed. We have to find the analogs of correlations. Analogs of correlations. And here I introduce kappas. So kappa is the part of intensity which corresponds to the process I. Kappa 1 0 is the lambda 1 0 is the intensity of the process N3. In of course, since N3 goes to both lan S1, lan S2, we have to if we dealing with the second process, we the intensity of which is a part of the intensity corresponding to N3, which we express kappa 2 0, and then both intensity should be equal because it's the same process. And this is 1 minus kappa 1 0 times lambda 1 0 is the intensity of the rest, which is intensity of N1, and we have the same thing for the intensity N2. And this finally, at if tau 1 happens, all the intensity change to this to the other case. I have these three matrices. This this is just this is intensity of N1 and 2 and 3 and N3. They both agree. And if the first event occurs, they change to some other intensities. And actually, the intensity of N3 also changed, and the intensity of N1 and 2 all changed to some other intensities, and we see that both intensities of these agreed. So, and then this is the case corresponding to the event tau 1 happened before tau 2, and at the event tau 2, the intensities of all of the process changed again. And if the event tau 2 happens before tau 1, we have another way, but still we have to remain in this setting. So, and it turns out that we have to fix the proportion of intensity to which the process N3 changed at the first of two events. Otherwise, the problem would be ill-posed. So that's why all the coefficients here, so here I have N1 plus N3 and 2 plus N3, this is just intensity matrices. That's why all the intensities here have to agree. Another problem appears when we derive the process Z. This is not so easy anymore because in the former model we had W1 and W2 prime, which could be independent, and we have solved linear system and we have expressed them via S log S1 and log S2. This is not the case anymore because we have three independent Poisson process. But what we can do is we can write the same Gersanov transformation under the very large sigma algebra, very large filtration generated by N1 and 2 and 3. But we need to write it under S1 and S2. How can we do this? For this, we know that Poisson is an exponential family, so we have to find the real process Zij as exponential of the linear combination of X1, X2, and the time, because we have a Lévy process. And now, this is not so trivial to compute this this conditional expectation. Let's see what happens if we have the same problem in the case of two Poisson process. Just forget everything and have two Poisson process, N1 and N2. How do we compute conditional Laplace transform of N1 subject to we have N1 plus N2? So this is a good exercise, and we have to avoid this summation. Summation is really, if we do summation, we will be lost. So, but we see that this is not so difficult. If we add and subtract in the exponent theta times N2, we see that there is a relation between the two Laplace transforms, and on the other hand, we know that we have these Laplace transforms of the Poisson process, and we see that we arrive at these two simple expressions for this case of two process, for the case of two processes. Good, but this can be also checked by the standard application of the Bayes formula. But we have three processes. And how do we use the same idea for the three process case? We assume that the Laplace transforms have the same structure, and then we try to find the relationship between alphas, betas, and gammas. On the other hand, we can do this using this conditioning, the same idea as before. But on the other hand, we know that every process is a Poisson process. That's why we arrive at the system of three equations for alpha, beta, and gamma, where alpha, beta, and gamma. I will take one of the coefficients from there. And after these computations, we see that we can find the expressions for alpha, beta, and gamma can be found in an explicit form. This alpha, beta, and e to the alpha, e to the beta, and then gamma can be found as the root of quadratic equations. If we have a compound Poisson process, for example, with exponential jumps, then we have more complicated equation for the e to the alpha, e to the beta, and e to the gamma. And actually, we may extend this up to the Lévy process, where instead of Poisson process, we have a Lévy process belonging to the exponential family. So, for example, we know that Gaussian inverse Gaussian process, gamma process belongs to this family, hyperbolic Lévy motion belongs to this family. In all these processes, the Gersanov density can be expressed by this is e to the power. So the Gersanov density is e to the power theta xt minus a cumulant function times t. So in this case, we have no problem. What happens with Cauchy process, which doesn't belong to this exponential family? I don't know. We will have to deal with other complicated processes except them. So, and if we apply Itô's formula, we see that we have two driving Poisson processes, and we have this analog of correlation for the Poisson for the jump process. We know that the variation was studied by in the famous papers by Carr, Gemann, Mandan, and Yor, and as well as in other papers. And here we see the correlation, and this analog of covariance. This is a covariance, and we identified the also the analog of volatility and or diffusion and correlation. But I skipped that part because I skip the expression for alphas and beta because they are complicated. So normally we will have the same type of expression, and we will have again three-dimensional filter for this case. But it will contain also this term, which is untrivial. So. What to do if you ask me, if you consider more Poisson processes, for example, if you need to model three stocks, driven by Poisson processes. Then, according to the information contained in the talk of Alex Lipton, we need 6 Poisson processes, N1 and 2 and so on, N6, and then we can arrange the correlation structure. What happens with the filter? With the filter, in this case, we have pi 1, pi 2, and pi. If we have 3 events and 3 processes, then we will have pi 1, pi 2, pi 3, corresponding to the case that one disorder happened, then we have pi 1, 2, pi 1, 3, pi 2, 3, and then we should have pi 1, 2, 3. So we have 7 filtering estimates, since we have, in that case, 3 independent Markov chains to filter, and we have 3 correlated driving Brownian motions, or we have 6 arranging somehow 6 Poisson, independent Poisson processes. So, and then if I have a few minutes to announce. So actually, this is, of course, corresponds to the Poisson disorder problem, but for the what I have considered is corresponds to the Poisson disorder problem, recently studied studied by many authors, originally by Bark-Davids, Galchuk, Razovsky, and recently by Goran Pishkir and Albert Chiryaev. So, and this is the case how we can formulate the Poisson disorder problem for the case of 2 disorders. And if the driving Poisson processes are correlated. In this case, so we seek for the one time indicating that some of the disorder happened. So let me concentrate on the formulation. There are a lot of formulations in this. There should be a lot of formulations of this problem, but let me focus on the one of them only. If we we seek for the time which is not observable which is not observable from the which is not observable, and we find we look for the time of alarm eta at which we should take the signal about that this event happened. Good. So in this case, we penalize for the false alarm. So if the time of alarm eta happened before the first of the disorders happened, then we penalize for it and get the rate B1. If it happened before the last one, we give this penalty B2. And also for the delay of observing this time eta, we give C1 if we have a delay in the first of this, and C2 if we give the penalty for the last of it. So standard computations says us that we reduce this problem to a two-dimensional, optimal stopping problem for the three-dimensional jump diffusion process if we cover both Wiener and Poisson cases, and we see that we have a three-dimensional Markovian sufficient statistics in both Wiener or Poisson disorder problems. In this case, which can be solved actually in Poisson case, it can be dealt with the approximation method invented by the earlier papers of Bark-Davids and then Guggerli, and the optimal stopping time should have a structure when the process pi hits or overlaps the boundary expressed by, as a function of the two other processes, pi 1 and pi 2. This and the other more complicated formulations are still to be done, because the case where the observable boson process were dependent what has not been considered in the literature before. So, and then I probably give a short announcement of the talk of Bachelier, of the Bachelier Congress, and stop now, actually. And let me, references, there are references, and so thank you. Thank you.